Happy to welcome Mark Kelly to the show. Mark is the guy who commanded the final mission of the space shuttle Endeavour just about a year and a half ago. He's also the husband of former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords and the author of a new book called Moustronaut. Mark, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you very much, Paul. Thanks for having me on your show.
My pleasure. First of all, I was very moved by seeing Gabby do the Pledge of Allegiance at the Democratic Convention last month, and also the video of you and she watching the Atlantis fly over the Southwest on its way to the museum where it's going to spend the rest of its retiree life. Tell me about what that moment was like for you.
Well, the two moments, certainly Gabby doing the pledge at the DNC was a great moment. I was backstage. I couldn't really see it well, but for her, it was she really enjoyed it. And I think folks really enjoyed seeing her do that. And it was Space Shuttle Endeavour that flew over Gabby's hometown of Tucson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was your
ship then.
It was my space shuttle. At least the one I got to fly last.
Yeah.
And that was really nice, and I'm very appreciative of NASA for making that happen.
Yeah. Before we talk about the book, let's talk a little bit about the SpaceX flight last night. The Dragon cargo capsule blasted off from Cape Canaveral atop a Falcon 9 rocket about 7:30 Central Time last night, and lit up the sky and is on its way to the International Space Station. And this is the beginning of a new era for American spaceflight, in that we've kind of turned it over to commercial companies to handle getting us into space. What do you think of that as an astronaut?
Well, originally I was not a big fan of it, partly because I wasn't so sure how successful it was going to be. We've always had the big government contractor with a lot of oversight by the government. Now we're going to these smaller companies, kind of letting them do their thing. SpaceX, in particular, has been very successful. This is their second flight to the International Space Station. They're going to deliver some cargo and bring some home, and hopefully one day they'll be flying people as well.
And where do you see us in the future of manned spaceflight?
Well, I think it's got a very bright future. Maybe, you know, one young kid who's reading Moustronaut will be inspired to go into space, and maybe that kid one day will walk on the surface of Mars. I think that's certainly out there somewhere in our future.
Do you think it is? I mean, certainly we've sent Curiosity there, and it's making amazing discoveries and doing its own amazing thing on the Martian surface. Do you think we're ever going to see human footprints there as we have on the lunar surface?
Well, ever is a long time. So, yes.
All right. In our lifetimes, Mark.
In our lifetimes, that's how old are you?
I'm 54.
Well, I'm 48, so I don't know. Maybe in my lifetime. Just kidding. I don't know. I would certainly like to see that. And I think if we really set our minds to it, we could do that. Space flight is difficult, so it's rather costly.
Is it important for humans to do it, or can't we just let the machines take care of it, since it's a little bit easier to send them there because they don't need oxygen?
It is easier and cheaper, but what Curiosity might do in 6 months, as far as science is concerned, a person on the planet of Mars could probably do in an hour. You know, he can walk around, look for the interesting rock, kick it over. I mean, and then there's all the added benefit, you know, not only the inspiration aspect of it, mm-hmm. but when we try to send people to do hard things, we get some unintended consequences out of that. And that really helps our economy in the long run.
I love the inspirational aspect of it. But then again, I was a child of the space race, a fan of Mercury and Gemini and certainly of Apollo, and the 12 men who did put footprints on that lunar surface were a huge inspiration to me. Don't you think that that's missing a little bit, maybe from our science curriculums, but certainly from our culture in general today?
Well, I think there's a lot of distractions out there. I mean, in the 1960s and early 70s, the Apollo program, for obvious reasons, was a very big deal. But there wasn't, you know, there wasn't this huge, you know, social media and internet and, you know, 150 TV channels and, you know, those things, all of that didn't exist. So, you know, young people are constantly distracted from all different directions. And, you know, I think that inspiration is out there. They just have to focus in on it a little bit better. And maybe NASA, you know, needs to do a little bit better job at providing, you know, providing that inspiration and the communication to the public.
Since I mentioned the men who went to the moon, we lost Neil Armstrong recently. Did you get to know him personally?
I did. I spent, I saw him twice this year, once in February and in April. In February, one of the highlights of my career as an astronaut, other than my four space flights. But after that, I got to sit between him and John Glenn for dinner one evening. And that was a very big deal for me.
Yeah. Did you have to talk at all?
I had to speak at this.
No, I mean with them.
Oh, with the two of them? Absolutely. I had all kinds of questions.
Yeah, but they're such great storytellers. You could ask a question and sit back and just listen for 15 minutes.
That's true. It was a really nice event. It was the 50th anniversary of John Glenn's flight is why we were there. But to sit between, you know, these two icons of exploration was really one of the highlights of my career as an astronaut.
All right. Tell me a little bit about the book, Moustronaut.
So Moustronaut is inspired by my real-life first flight on the space shuttle. I was the pilot of Endeavour in 2001, and we had 18 mice on board, and 17 of those mice seemed very uncomfortable with the experience. And there was one exception. One of those small little guys was, he'd fly over and get his water and fly across and get his food and seemed quite content with the experience. So that's where the true part of the story ends, and from that I was able to, you know, write a story about a small mice on a space shuttle mission that ultimately saves the day.
Yeah. The mouse is called Meteor, is that right?
Yes, Meteor the Moustronaut.
Wonderful idea for a book for kids. I'm curious, though, were the mice that flew with you, were they flying around really in zero gravity with you?
Well, like I said, one of them was.
Was he supposed
to? Well, they were in cages.
Yeah.
But 17 of them seemed, you know, they stayed kind of with their little mice fingers attached to the inside of the cage, and one of them would fly around.
Wow.
So he seemed to get it. So that's where the idea for the story came from.
All right. The book is called Moustronaut. It's out there now. A nice little kid's book from a guy who is he's one of those American heroes we talk about. I grew up admiring astronauts my whole life, and so I tip my hat to you and hope things are going well with Gabby as well. I appreciate your time this morning, Mark.
Thank you, Paul.
Astronaut Mark
thanks
Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Astronaut Mark Kelly joining me here on the Big 550 KTRS.